From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, in for Carl Castle, and here is your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you so much. And thank you again so much to Korva. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this at the last minute. I should tell everybody that last week, Carl Castle finally said, to hell with it. 8 years of suppressed dignity finally caught up with him, and he just snapped. We're happy to report he's now with Daniel Schorr undergoing integrity replacement therapy. Korva, again, you're really helping us out of a jam here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, that's not true. Carl is on vacation. He'll be back in a couple of weeks, but we, of course, are still here, and you can win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT, 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Ginny, and I'm from Atlanta.
Hey, Ginny, how are things in Atlanta?
They are very beautiful.
And what do you do there?
I'm a violinist.
You're a violinist?
I am.
That's a hard thing to make your living at.
Well, it's a fun thing to make your living at, as I'm sure you would understand.
I absolutely do.
Yes.
There are other things, other rewards than money.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Sadly, I keep finding out that the grocery store won't take any of them. Ginny, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Ginny.
Also say hello to a journalist and contributor to ABC's Nightline, Ms. Sue Ellicott.
Hello, Sue.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm lovely.
And lastly, author and humorist Tom Baudette.
Hello, Ginny.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, good. You know, Ginny, my wife is learning to play the violin rather late in life. She goes out in the barn to practice for good reason at this point. Would you have any tips for someone new to the instrument in approaching middle age?
Earplugs.
No, for her.
Oh.
I hope your wife doesn't hear that middle age bit.
I said approaching middle age.
Approaching. Yes, you're way off.
Yeah. You're going to be approaching the barn when you get home.
Well, Ginny, welcome to our show. Now, you're going to start us off by playing Who's Korva This Time?
Okay.
Korva Coleman is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Ready to go?
I think so.
Korva, you ready?
I am.
All right, let's do it. Here's your first quote.
In Washington, there is a lobby for everything, except apparently mermaids and centaurs.
That was Jacob Weisberg, writing in Slate. But a strange promise to ban, quote, human-animal hybrids, who, during a big speech this week, came out with a strong stance against the horrible half-human, half-animal creatures in our midst.
Would that be our president?
It would be.
The Union?
It would be. Every year, President Bush seems to try to find one thing in the State of the Union address for everybody to agree with. And this year, it seemed to have been a proposal to ban human-animal hybrids. Quote, unquote. And he was right. It did unite the nation in in confusion as to what the hell he was talking about.
Rut-roll roars.
Exactly.
Rut-roll. Rut-roll roars.
Human-animal hybrids? Is this like something that just...
outrageous. Here with the Democratic response is Joe Lieberman.
What is going on here? Is this just something that the president sees late at night after two or three six-packs of O'Doul's non-alcoholic brew? You know?
You think there's just a text for the State of the Union with a parenthetical that says, insert loopy notion here? Because 2 years ago we were going to Mars, and that sort of didn't happen.
Yeah,
I wondered about that. Then there were steroids in baseball, and now there's, like, Manimal.
All right, very good. Here's your next quote.
It's like Barry Bonds calling for an end to steroid use in baseball.
That was columnist Mark Sandolo of the San Francisco Chronicle. He was talking about a shocking admission the president made in his speech, an admission that we all are addicted to what?
We are addicted to foreign oil.
Exactly right.
So does that mean that we have to use more domestic oil?
Probably.
And isn't he a domestic oil man?
Used to be.
Oh, okay.
You know.
So it's not going to affect him in any way.
No, he's fine.
Oh, good. But I was just gonna make sure.
Although I'm sure he appreciates your concern.
Although the half-man, half-caribou in Alaska is very upset about it.
Yeah. But they get great fuel economy, those hybrid caribou.
Every year, Mr. Bush tackles the huge problem of our overuse of fossil fuels by mentioning it in the State of the Union address. Mr. Bush did get a lot of attention and praise for using the phrase addicted to oil. And he also called for a reduction in imports of Middle Eastern oil. A day later, the Saudis were mighty angry and the administration was backing off the promise with a senior Energy Department official saying, quote, "The president didn't mean it literally," unquote. True fact.
So all that metaphorical gasoline is going to get me to work in the morning.
Exactly.
That's pretty much what it is.
So all that addiction talk is behind us.
Yes.
And denial is just another river in an unstable Middle Eastern country.
All right, very good, Jenny. Here is your last quote.
Okay.
Even for a senator, it takes some pretty serious yodeling to call for a filibuster from a 5-star ski resort in the Swiss Alps.
That was White House spokesman Scott McClellan talking about a certain senator's attempt to filibuster Samuel Alito's nomination while hanging with the aristocracy in Davos, Switzerland. What senator?
Would that be our former Democratic candidate, John Kerry?
It would be. It would be. And may I say that Senator Kerry led the fight against Judge Alito with the same tactical brilliance that he brought to his presidential campaign, which is why Alito was confirmed to the Supreme Court a day later. Kerry flew back from Davos, coach class, we're sure, and he led a filibuster effort on the Senate floor, starting at about 3 p.m. Tuesday. He and his allies gave it their all, and it was touch and go for a while, but by 3:10, it was all over. Corva, how did Ginny do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Ginny had 3 right. She will win Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine. Ginny, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Very good.
Folks in a town that was quite remote heard
lay-or-lay-or-lay-hoo, lusty and clear from the goat herd's throat herd
lay or a lay or a loo.